Black WNST, Towson Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We're positively taking the Maryland Crab Cake Tour back out on the road. We're going to be at Gunpowder Lodge on Friday from 2 until 5, visiting with some soccer friends at Danny Santoro, my pal JR, making some delicious lobster rolls to go with my crab cakes. I'm looking forward to that. Brooke Learman's going to be joining us. She's running for controller. And if you're a Barry Glassman fan, we had him last week at Fadley's. It is all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. We'll be giving away some Raven scratch-offs on Friday, as well as our friends at Goodwill, reminding you to shop Halloween. And I'm going to be doing my Aladdin Sane David Bowie thing. I'm going to Goodwill for some shopping there. And of course, our friends at Window Nation, where you buy two, you get two free. It's 866-90-NATION. I love having rock stars on this program. I have athletes and all sorts of journalists, and we talk football and all that stuff. But when my pals come back on and they're coming to town, and especially one of my favorite towns in Maryland, Frederick, I've adopted Frederick as one of my favorite towns on the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. Mark Bryan joins us from down low in South Carolina in beautiful Charleston. He will be in beautiful Frederick at the Weinberg Center. I have not been in the Weinberg Center, but I have bought all sorts of pasta and drank all sorts of beer in the neighborhood of downtown Frederick, and I highly encourage it. You go find the great guitar player from Hootie and the Blowfish and my lifer pal coming back to the great state of Maryland just in time to maybe see the Commanders lose again. What's going on, Mark Bryan? How the heck are you, man? How's the band? How's life? How's the solo life?
Man, Nestor, I'm great. Thank you, as always, for taking the time to talk with me, and man, I'm psyched. I'm fired up, as always, to come up and play Maryland, play my homeland, and see all the friends, and play a set with my best friends. And we're doing it in Frederick this time, this Saturday the 22nd. I'm fired up.
All right, so people know you from Hootie and the Blowfish. You guys sort of surprised me a couple summers ago. I mean, it got me through the plague, seeing those three or four shows you guys actually put together and brought the band back together. But Darius is off doing his thing, and I don't think it was ever any thought that you guys were going to be 25 again and run around the world 11 months a year as Hootie and the Blowfish. Give everybody a little level set on Dean, Sony, you, Darius, and where the band is, and what this is all about on Saturday night as we come out and jam with you.
Yeah. Okay. Well, with the band, you know, we're doing select shows throughout the year, every year, where we have our sort of Mexico thing now, Hootie Fest, that we do in January. Next year, we're doing it in April. And that's sort of an annual thing now. And then we have Monday After the Masters still that we do every April, you know, which is our big fundraising event. And so we're still best friends who, you know, love playing together. And we have these events that are for a good cause and are a lot of fun, quite frankly. We feel blessed that we still get the chance to get together to play music. And so we do it when we can. And then when we don't, everybody kind of has their own thing going. Sony just released a book, actually. He's on tour with that. And everybody knows Darius is on tour this year, and he's been playing some really cool shows and just dropped a new single, Old Church Hymn. And then, and Dino's around. He just built a new house. So that's been keeping him busy. But we've been hanging out a little bit, golfing. And he's jamming with me next week at my event. So everybody's in touch. And we just play when we can. And it's great. And so I've been doing, you know, 20, 30 shows a year. And one of them is going to be this Saturday in Frederick. And I'm, again, fired up about it. I get to play with my best friends and play in front of some of my oldest friends. And we'll be doing a nice selection of Hootie songs, but also a lot of my solo material. And I just put out an album last year called Midlife Priceless. And then we do some covers. We do some really fun old covers. One of the cool things about playing with the Screaming Trojans this Saturday is that I get to play with all my friends that I grew up playing with. And we would play Zeppelin and Rush and Police, but nobody could ever sing it because it's all so high. Well, we got a singer that can sing it now with Scott Tucker. So that's one of the fun things about playing in this band, too.
I would just say this, and we'll get to Hootie, we'll get to sports, we'll get to the Orioles and the baseball, we'll get up to all that. But for you to come out and just do this and have a good time, Frederick is such a great place to hang out. I did this Maryland Crab Cake Tour, you know, on the backside of the plague and sports shutting down and me founding Baltimore Positive and sort of branching out, much like Darius did in his career or you're doing in your solo career. I did sports exclusively for 25 years. The last 5 or 6 years, we talked to politicians, we go out, we have crab cakes. But part of this was seeing the state of Maryland, right? Like, you're a Maryland native, you're from Silver Spring, you've been down in South Carolina for 3 or 4 decades now, but there are so many places in Maryland, as I wear my state fair in the Maryland Maryland Flag here, where they have a lot of music over in Catonsville, that I had never really explored Frederick or Hagerstown or Cumberland or Oakland or Deep Creek Lake or even on the Eastern Shore, Cambridge, Chestertown, Salisbury. We're always in a hurry to get to the beach going to Ocean City on 50. We never got off of 50. It's a beautiful state, but downtown Frederick, of all the places that feel vibrant, and I'm talking Annapolis, all the Bel Air, other town seats and whatnot, Frederick is might be the coolest place in Maryland to hang out on a Friday or Saturday night, have a few pops, see some live music, eat some great food. I'm encouraging everybody to get out to Frederick and be a part of this. And the best part is they're going to know a lot of your music, right? Like Midlife Priceless is something you did, but as far as 60, 70, 80% of the music you're doing will be familiar to people, right?
That's right. Yeah. People are going to know a lot of the songs, and then the ones that they don't, they're going to get turned on to and go, damn, all right, got some new stuff to listen to. So it's a nice combination of that. Frederick's got a great history to it. You feel it when you're there. It's such a vibe. And a lot of my friends, you know, I grew up in Montgomery Village. So a lot of my friends made that move just north to Frederick. And I feel like that's a market that I always try to come play the DC area. And I end up in Annapolis or Northern Virginia or something like that. And I'm making my friends from growing up drive so far to see me. So I thought, let's go right to them and try to play Frederick this time. And got lucky enough to get in with the folks at the Weinberg Center. And we put together a really nice show here. So it's going to be a good night.
Would you say you're going home? That's a little song, a little reference there. But
that's right.
This is the home show, right?
That's right. It is, totally.
All right. So for the band and the reunion, and I had so much fun. By the way, rock and roll sets have changed so much. You know, I ate at a Waffle House the other day for the first time this calendar year. I feel a little lost without scattered, covered, smothered and chunked and diced. You guys had that Waffle House motif. You just had such a beautiful set and you put this thing together. And it was a long time coming. And I think for fans who love your band, and I'm one of them, to go out and shake my ass to some music that I love, that you guys play, but that's a difficult lifestyle for all of you. I caught you at a couple of points on the tour, took some pictures, hung out backstage up in Camden. Putting the band back together, it must have been an incredible operation to do that, and probably really spiritual and emotional and cool, as cool as it was for the fans a couple of years ago, right?
Totally. It was a big full circle moment for all of us. I mean, it had been a 10 plus year hiatus. So big full circle moment. There was definitely a feeling of just like getting back on a bike where everything you just hop right back on and do your thing. And that felt really good. When you start playing with those guys that you've been playing with for your whole life, your whole adult life, you just lock right back into the groove. And that felt good when that happened. And then we realized we're a really good band, you know, and that was a good feeling to know that I'm in a great rock and roll band. And that we could play any song and really do it justice. And we have one of the great singers of all time. And it just was such a good feeling to feel that. And then there's something even deeper with the fact that our crew has been with us, a lot of them since the 90s, early 90s. And they're still out with Darius when he's out. And so when Hootie goes out, they're out with Hootie too. And it's guys that we've known our whole adult lives. And there's something really special about that. It's a big family, more than just the band, you know? And so, all of that together rolling on the road night to night to all these different towns was really super special. And you realize while it's happening, you're like, gosh, this might be the last time I ever get to do this. I hope not. I hope we do it 10 more times, you know, and there's every reason to believe we'll do it 5 more or whatever, but at least, but you know, you never know. And so there was that moment while we were in the middle of it, of like, God, this is really special. I'm very blessed to get to do this.
I felt great about coming out and seeing you guys. I'm going to feel great about Saturday night in downtown Frederick. Mark Bryan is here from Hootie and the Blowfish. He is a guitar player doing a solo thing and bringing his act out to the Weinberg. So part of the whole motif of the band and the Dolphins crying is you're the original sports guy band from the 90s, right? Like you were the band that golfed and hung out with athletes and had your favorite teams. Since then, one of your favorite teams has changed its name. I got to get a little vibe on what it's like to be a long distance fan of the franchise of Daniel Snyder. And certainly I've got my Oriole problems up here. The kids are now fighting while the old man's eating pudding. It's a mess, but you had it both ways. You were Redskin and Orioles. There's been a lot of suffering in your adulthood.
There has. Nestor, I need help.
I can't provide help in Largo for that guy, right?
I grew up with 3 Super Bowls, a World Series with the O's, 3 Super Bowls with my Skins, a national championship in 02 for my Terps in basketball. I had glory until my, you know, adult years. And then ever since I've been an adult, my team's fallen into despair. Doesn't even do it justice. Like, it is, my teams are the Redskins. I can't even know how to call them the new name yet. The Orioles and the Wizards. Those are my three teams. So if you want to know how my last 25 years have been with sports, there's your answer. 20
That's
years.
Your golf game.
Exactly. Thank you. Golf game actually got better recently. I got it down to an 11. I've been playing pretty well. And I just injured my arm the other day on a clumsy paddleboard dismount. So I can't play golf right now, but I can play guitar, which is
Do your paddleboarder out on the water with the
Yes.
My wife loves that. My wife, like, flo-yo, like yoga on the paddleboards, right? She's done that down in Florida with the manatees, and you know, we have so
That's
many little
favorite workout now is paddleboarding. Number one favorite workout.
Well, you know, it golf isn't a workout. Like, it's just a walk in the park, right?
Yeah, exactly.
For you with playing a guitar, how often do you pick up? And you say you're playing 30 gigs a year. I mean, I only feel like I feel you when you're here locally. I know you're doing other stuff and moving around.
Well, I have a studio, so I'm playing all the time, you know, when I'm recording and recording with other people. And then when I do these shows, a lot of times I'm learning other songs, like it'll be for an event or something like that. So I rehearse a little bit for the shows that I have, and that keeps it in my hand. It keeps guitar in my hand pretty regularly between that and the recording. I'm also a songwriter, and so I'll write when the idea hits me. And I've been writing some on like ukulele this year and on piano, which is just different when you write on different instruments. And so I'm always kind of dabbling with something musically. Just always, it's just the way I am.
Yeah, I love music so much, and the plague shutting everything down and watching so many musicians do home studio things, watching collaborative things with symphonies, and music during the plague, people who were musicians found incredibly creative ways to stay creative if they weren't losing their minds in a room alone. But there is something very, and I'm a writer of writings, that there's something very introverted and something that's not like, I mean, you're outgoing. I'm outgoing. We're type A like that. But there's something about when you're creative that's so quiet and so solitary when you're doing things that it almost, my wife thinks it's just a unique thing that I can shut the door and sit in here alone, because most people don't think that I'm that type of personality. But in order to create anything, there's so much alone time, and the plague sort of stimulated that for me, and I think for other creative people.
I think it did. It gave people a lot of chance to sort of look inward. And for me, like to your point, a lot of my more creative times will happen when I don't even think about it, or if I'm in the shower, or if I'm driving down the road and I decide to turn the radio off for a little while and just, you know, you have some quiet. I'm not even trying to be creative in that moment. I'm just still. And if you can create that stillness, a lot of creativity will come sometimes. And that's what I notice. And some of my best ideas come to me when I wasn't even trying, you know.
Well, I got invited a couple months ago, and I'm trying to rediscover some music and some undiscovered music and going back to hearing things that I don't hear on the radio. So I have a band here that I know is near and dear to your heart that I've been chasing around a little bit in my mind of going back, REM. And I know you have that link with Hull Sapple to all of this. I wound up at Jim Irsay's charity event. He does a, and that's sort of strange for a Baltimore guy to be at an Indianapolis Colts guy's event, right? But he's doing this touring thing with Mellencamp's band. Kenny Wayne Shepherd's a part of it. Mike Mills from REM's a part of it. I got invited to New York. And here's Mike Mills up on stage with Natalie Merchant and, you know, all these musicians, Kenny Aronoff, and they start doing Don't Go Back to Rockville, which I know is a little different from a guy from Silver Spring as well, and Superman, and he's singing like an angel, and I'm thinking, I got to go back and get me some REM. And as I'm doing this back in the spring, I see REM cover band, Dead Letter Office. Pretty good album. You guys made a pretty interesting scatter covered album that was sort of in the Dead Letter Office vein and doing cover songs. And I said, I'm going to go back and discover REM's music. And then I realized there are these tribute bands that have incredibly nailed this. And I found this tribute band. They played the trifecta. Tribute music has become this incredible way to keep bands that are no longer bands like REM or even Hootie that you guys get together every once in a while, that tribute bands are the big thing at this point for fans that want to go out and shake their ass and listen to older music.
There is starting to be a scene for tribute bands. And I just recently started an REM tribute band, but more just for fun. Like the idea of doing justice to those great old songs with your friends, like sitting with your friends and playing those great old songs and trying to do justice to them is really fun on a level that I just didn't realize how fun it could be. And so
you guys did it in your prime, right? You did Drive Crazy, you did all that, right?
I know, but like, I'm talking about like doing it from a place of sort of resurrecting it. And like, I'm even using Peter Buck's same gear. Like I'm using a Rickenbacker through a Vox. I'm like really trying to do him instead of, you know, like I was always influenced by him or whatever, but I was always trying to do my thing all the years, you know, and this is very specific. Like I'm going in and playing his parts on the type of guitar that he played through the type of amp he played. And the other guys in the band are trying to do their parts and we sound like REM and it's really fun. And it's ours is called Voice of Harold, which is a song from Dead Letter Office, that album that you mentioned of the REM outtakes. And so we're Voice of Harold and our next gig is down here at the Windjammer in Charleston, November 17th. So I'm having a lot of fun with that too.
And I didn't even know this. Hold on, stop the music. You get together for a whole night and do REM music all night.
Yes. Yeah. We will do a 75, 90 minute set of REM songs. And we play something from every album all the way up through New Adventures in Hi-Fi.
Well, I mean, they're really an interesting band in that they had different lives, right? The beginning, the middle, the Warner Brothers, and then after that, a little more experimental, yeah. Right? Like they've like Rush, like you mentioned Rush earlier.
Yes.
Just the four different bands or five different bands all put into one based on their sound and where they were in the 50 years of making music, right?
Yeah.
For you with the REM thing, what's the connection there? I mean, were you a Life's Rich Pageant guy, Murmur guy, Fables? Where did you fall?
Life's Rich Pageant was probably, if I had to say one, it would be Life's Rich Pageant. But what I love is listening from the beginning through and hearing the growth, you know, starting at Chronic Town and just going all the way through chronologically from there and hearing the growth in the band and then in their songwriting. And you can hear when they switched producers, how their sound changed. Like when they went to Life's Rich Pageant, they that was a new producer. And that was Don Gaiman, who produced Cracked Rear View for Hootie and all the John Mellencamp stuff from the 80s. And he's a great producer. But you can really hear the growth in the band from the jump to Fables to Life's Rich Pageant. I love that kind of stuff.
Mark Bryan is here. I love his band. His band was Hootie and the Blowfish for many, many years. Still is his band, but he's doing a solo thing at the Weinberg Center in Frederick on Saturday night. I encourage everybody to go out to Frederick, eat, drink, have a good time, hit the brewery downtown, go to Idiom, hit all the breweries in Frederick like I did a couple of months ago when I got out there. So close to home for you. Give me the home speech for your friends coming up from Silver Spring and being a part of this.
I'm sorry, I lost you for a couple seconds there. Did you ask me a question?
No. The bringing the family and the friends to Frederick, that this is more of a special show than any other show.
Yep, this is my homeland show, and I feel really blessed that I get to do it. So thanks to everybody who bought tickets and who's coming out. Please spread the word. It's going to be a great night of music. Like Nestor said, you're going to know over half of the songs. And the ones you don't know, you're going to get turned on to and fired up about. So here we go.
Screaming Trojans. Is that a USC reference there? Or is that a Cornerstone reference?
So the high schools in Gaithersburg where we went were Gaithersburg High School in Seneca Valley. And I went to Seneca Valley. We were the Screaming Trojans and a couple of my other buddies in the band did as well. And then the other guys in the band went to Gaithersburg. I'm sorry. They were the Screaming Eagles at Seneca Valley. That's what I meant to say. We were the Screaming Eagles. And then a couple other guys in the band went to Gaithersburg and they were the Gaithersburg Trojans. So I took the two nicknames of the high schools and mixed them together and we're Mark Bryan and the Screaming Trojans.
Midlife priceless. And he means it. Last thing, I never get together with you with the REM thing and all that. How's Hall Sapple doing? He's never been on the show and I want him on the show really bad.
He's great. He's still making music. I see these posts from him every now and then that he's like rehearsing for a little show here and there. And, I think he's still doing it for the love of it, which is a wonderful thing to be able to say. He takes a bunch of pictures now and posts them. His creative side is always you know, peeking out. And he's a wonderful man. He's doing great.
I'd be very intimidated by him. I think I told him that when I met him too. I said, I would be too intimidated to have you on, you know?
He is a wealth of information. You can ask him anything about music history, and he it's unbelievable how much he knows. You know, it's really fun talk. It is a little intimidating actually, but he's so gentle and kind that, you know, you quickly realize that he's a wonderful, warm person. And we and Hootie, I know I speak for the whole band when I say this, have been so blessed to have him in our careers and in our lives. That we always called him like he was like the uncle to our band. He called himself the avuncular figure. Of course, he used that term, you know.
And you wonder why I'm intimidated by him, Mark.
He's a family man. He's a really, when it comes down to it, he's a sincere family man. He's got a boy and a girl that have just recently grown, and another girl that's in her 20s. And he's always been just a wonderful father. He's always been there for them. Touring was tough for him sometimes because of that. But, you know, so he's getting to do that, a lot of that right now. And so I feel good for him about that. And he's still, like I said, making music from his heart for all the right reasons.
Well, if you don't know who Peter Holzapfel is, make sure you go out and find the special sauce in every band that I ever loved, which is why it intimidates me a little bit. Dude, appreciate you. Love you. I'm glad you're doing well. I'm glad the guys in the band are doing well. And Darius is doing his thing. And I'm crossing my fingers that one day I will be in Saratoga, New York, and stumble upon you guys at SPAC or somewhere on a summer tour out there when you put the band back together. But I do hope to come and visit with you on Saturday. Man, we got baseball playoffs, the Phillies, the Padres. We got things going on. Football. Going on. My team's 3-3. Your team's are you still watching every week?
My Gamecocks are doing okay. We got A&M this weekend, and that would be a huge upset if we could pull that off. It's not likely, but that would take us to 4-3. I don't know, 5-2. So
you're never going to win a national championship being a Gamecocks football. I don't think anymore. I think those days.
Don't say never. Don't say never. We got Shane Beamer now, and I think he can. If he can do to our program what Dabo did to Clemson, I really believe that. I believe in Shane. I believe in the culture he's creating there, and we're gonna win some games, you know. And then it comes down to, can we get the guys to get on that SEC level, man? And I hope so. But he's making these kids believe they can win. So hopefully we can surprise everybody against A&M this weekend. That'd be huge. Let's go Cox. And I still follow the Terps, and they look good this year. I've been really impressed by the Terps.
Well,
winning Big Ten games on the road.
Ten's tough, man, right? I mean, things have changed since you went to South Carolina for all these conferences. And we had Kevin Willard, had Gary Williams. Cal Ripken Senior Foundation has a beautiful basketball kickoff, which is about 2 weeks ago. They brought Jay Wright in from Villanova and whatnot. So it's a real nice feel-good for the Terps basketball program, which is trying to sort of resurrect itself after this Turgeon thing. So basketball seasons, it's almost Moonlight Madness around here, Mark.
Man, I love some Maryland basketball. I hope they come back strong. I all my life have loved watching Maryland basketball. When Maryland basketball is good, my life is exciting. I like tune in all the games and watch every minute, and it's fun, man.
Well, hey, man, have a great gig on Saturday night. I hope to get out there and shake my tail with you guys. Mark Bryant will be bringing the Screaming Trojans to the Weinberg Center in downtown Frederick on Saturday night. That's the 22nd. Make sure you get out. Tickets are affordable, and they'll have cold beer at a reasonable price, which I always appreciate as well. Dude, love you. Love you, band. And fix your arm. Get out. Paddleboard. Play the rock and roll, and we'll keep listening, all right?
Right back at you, Nestor. Thanks, brother. Talk soon.
Mark Bryant, one of the good ones from Hootie and the Blowfish. He plays a little guitar. He jumps around a little bit and sings like an angel when he's commanded to do so. You can go check him out on Saturday night. I'll be doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour on Friday. We're going to be at Gunpowder Lodge from 2 until 5. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery in conjunction with our friends at Goodwill and Window Nation. Where you buy two, you get two free. That's 866-90-NATION. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking crab cakes, football, rock and roll. And BaltimorePositive.com.